Action Park Media.
Yes, yes, y'all, yes, y'all. And you don't stop. Keep it on, stocking the place.
Welcome, Victory the Podcast, Dog Days of Summer. People are out of town, Doug's out of town, Dylan, everybody's out of town, so I had to go to the bullpen. And then here comes Jerry Ferrara. Welcome, Jerry Ferrara. What's up, buddy?
You know, the Jeter doc is airing.
When
you see Torrey come out of the bullpen, say, you know.
Oh, guess who just entered the building? You hear that noise? Elvis has entered the building. Kev, that's still
Jerry.
Kevin, do you have a shiner?
I got a shiner, yeah.
I can't wait to hear this story, bro.
Shit, I can't wear my hat.
I can't wait to hear this story. For those of you joining us,
Kevin, got me coffee and everything.
Kevin Dillon has entered the chat.
What's up, you guys? Sorry I'm late.
That's all right.
I guess you guys are kind of used to that.
Little traffic, got out the door a little late. But did we not have what the doctor ordered, a cup of coffee?
Look at this, man. I got a cup of coffee. Jerry, I've been asking for this for a year. Hot coffee.
Yeah. If everyone only knew the secret to Kevin Dillon's
so
heart,
easy.
I'm happy. I'm a simple guy. Just a cup of coffee is all I need.
Like
all he needs.
Old school coffee,
A little cream and sugar.
All right, where to begin? First of all, the last time we were together, we played Mountain Gate, right? We played a round of golf.
Yeah, yeah, that was fun.
Golfing.
Yes, I offended Doug.
You offended Doug by not inviting him to play.
That's right.
Jerry, I gotta say, bro. You know, obviously, I know you play and you're good, but I thought that Mountain Gate was going to have your number a little bit, but as it turns out, it was the other way around.
He doesn't realize what an athlete you are, bro. Tell him.
Well, I had a couple of things going for me. Dylan, I had no, you know, I'm there working. I'm glad we even got the round in. Right. I know you got us on the tee sheet.
By the way, we got 17 in. Remember, we didn't
17
finish,
in. You know,
we were
no
hitting
clubs.
Golf balls in the dark. It's like, guys, maybe the round is over. It's dark out.
I got no clubs, no shoes. I ask you, I'm like, can we do a rental at the club? You're like, I think so. And Dylan's like, no, I got you, bro.
I had nice clubs for you, right?
Not only does he bring me a set of clubs, he brings me the set of clubs that I actually used to hit on your simulator.
That's
so they were
right.
familiar to me.
That's
so
right.
I had that going for me.
You swung those irons
and,
before.
It was just, I just was, see, you know,
you
I was,
played
I was
great,
seeing
man.
The ball well that day.
We all played really well, actually.
I came around. I got off to a rocky start, but I came around when it was all set.
You had a rocky start, but you came around. And the thing I took away from your game, Connolly, is you got plenty of swing speed. That's never going to be your issue. Like, distance, all that's not going to be your issue. It's literally just going to just feel, just, you
just
know, getting the reps
get out of your own way, bro.
Just gotta get out of your own way.
I was thinking about this, you know, when I got the call, when you got the tap on the shoulder, I'm going to have to eat up some innings because Ellen's gone. You know, I'm thinking like,
yeah.
I was thinking back to that round of golf and I was thinking about your hole in one on the simulator and how fun
that was.
But
great.
How do we not have video?
I was also just, I wish Connolly, you would have been into it back then because the golf trips and all the celebrity tournaments and stuff, which they don't even really do anymore nearly as much.
There's still some good ones that I got for you guys.
It's a great regret of mine. A
couple good ones.
That I could just remember you guys just like huddled in the corner swinging fake golf clubs.
Talking about golf.
Just like doing fake strokes and Dylan like caressing you and like holding you and teaching you.
I don't know about caressing.
Like with your hands on his hips, like helping him get his hips through, which is very questionable behavior.
It's a very questionable statement.
You had your hands on his hips and you were like swaying him like on how to get his hips.
You're nuts,
like,
bro.
Like Carl Weathers and Happy Gilmore, just back and forth.
I just
played with Carl Weathers recently.
You did in
Mexico. Great guy, man. Great
Ellen
guy.
Is friends with Carl Weathers. Bro.
Yeah, we're gonna get him.
Oh my gosh!
He said he would do the podcast.
Yeah, dude, that would be great to have him.
I'm coming for that one. I got questions for Carl Weathers.
Right, I'll do several interviews. Okay, first things first. So Dylan is back. From Buddy Games.
Yes.
Dylan,
Buddy Games 2,
the sequel. Dylan, why do you have a black eye?
You know, there was a scene, it was caught on film, actually.
So it is on film.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
So, I didn't get into a fight
goodness.
Or anything. Josh Duhamel beat me up.
I was going to say, when I saw that picture, I said, oh boy. Things are heating up in Vancouver. Dylan's in a bar.
You know what? The scene is, we're trying to figure, you know, everyone's arguing about what to do with the ashes in church, and they're battling over this urn.
This urn of his buddy's ashes,
we're
right?
throwing it around. You know, Josh Duhamel played college football. He was a quarterback.
He's a big dude.
And he's big. He's 6'4", 6'5". I don't know how tall he is.
Handsome.
And he can sling it. He threw this urn, and I'm just on the other side trying to catch this thing. And I caught most of them, but one got through my hands, and it was heavier. Oof. It was like five times heavier than a football.
That's a bad bruise.
It was a prop.
Yeah, this bruise is over a week old, man. My whole eye got all swelled up.
Was this like the last scene?
Yeah, what did they
do? No, man,
we had to use makeup.
More scenes?
Yeah, my character wears glasses too, so that kind of helped. But yeah, you're going to see, if you look closely, you'll be able to see a bruise.
Here's the million-dollar question. Was it your good eye or your good side or your bad side?
I got two good sides, bro. I don't know what you're talking about.
Which side? I think
I do consider that one my good side. Yeah.
Right. You're not.
Yes, but it's more about which way your hair parts, I believe.
But I'm saying, like, for most least people. Now you force them to shoot your good side.
I never have a problem with shooting either side.
But if it's
that was a Johnny drama thing.
If there's any side, it's better to have your bad side hit. Makes total sense.
Well, my good side got
it. Oh,
hit.
But it's your good side.
My good
hit.
Side.
Oh,
got
I thought
hit.
It was your bad side.
How was Duhamel? Was he like, oh, Kev, sorry? Or was he
felt terrible. He's like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I was like, I should have caught it. To be honest with you, though, it was slippery. It was heavy. The biggest problem was it hit me in the hands. if it was a football, I'd bring it in. You know, but
how heavy was it, Kev?
Other guys
Kev, like a pound or like a half
no,
a pound?
No, more than a pound.
Wow, and it just went right through your fingers and hit you right in the face. Did it like stumble
you
back?
Yeah, hit my hands, and it's just the weight of it. And didn't have like tack to it. It was slippery, you know?
Right.
So it just went right through, whacked me in the eye. I took a knee. I was rocked.
Right. But was in an
I
oh
took
shit
a knee,
moment.
My glasses cut my nose.
Oh my God.
My geez,
lip was
glasses?
Bleeding. It was like I got punched in the face really hard.
This is now officially a stunt. This has turned into a stunt.
It was a bit of a stunt.
Talk about a showstopper. What time of the
dude,
day
dude, everyone,
was this?
When you do buddy games, you're going to get hurt a little bit.
Right.
I actually had a cut on the same nostril.
From
a
different
one.
Stunt?
In the first one, a different stunt where we're all wrestling around.
But it looked like you guys were having fun out there.
And Josh, I'm like, Josh, how bad is it, bro? And he goes, well, it's not good. I could see my eye, you know, popping up. When you could see your cheekbone, it's not good.
Like a swelling immediately.
Right away, a big mouse, you know?
Oh, jeez. And what'd they do? They have to shut down for the day or they shoot some other stuff?
No, man. The show must go on.
The show must go on. We will fix it in
post. I went back, and they said, we're going to shoot stuff without you for a while. Let's let that, so that big bump.
See if we get some ice on that eye.
Got ice on it. Got the bump to go down a little bit. They applied makeup, and I had a cut on my nose, and, you know, it was crazy.
By the way, you know what?
I think it's going to look all right.
You could touch up a few of those shots if there's anything like
glaring. Yeah, you mean in post nowadays?
It costs a couple $100. Like, they could fix that.
I think it'll be fine, though. But then there was another situation, too, where one of the guys got COVID, ran around the set a little bit.
Oh, God.
So, we lost about 9 crew members at one stage. But they're, you know, you could bounce back quicker with this COVID. It's not like the first one,
right?
You know,
it's getting
and
more
then one
manageable.
Of the actors got it.
Did anybody get monkeypox?
No monkeypox, man.
Monkeypox.
You don't even hear about it there.
Jerry, what do you think of monkeypox, bro?
It's like what now?
Right, right.
Like,
what can you say?
What do we got pox, coming right? on? Like it's gonna start raining frogs, like in the movie Magnolia.
Clearly,
Magnolia?
Someone was fucking monkeys. So, I mean, something went down.
Somebody had sex with a monkey. Here, that's the thing that I don't understand about. The only thing I don't understand about monkeypox is it like COVID? I don't. How do I not get monkeypox? I would love to not get monkeypox.
Stay away from monkeys for one.
Right. Well, yeah, I would be doing that anyway.
I honestly can't answer I have no idea.
You're not gonna get.
I don't even think I thought pox would mean like you had spots. You know, like chicken pox or smallpox.
I think that's what it is, right?
I don't think you do. I think it's more just a virus that you get within your body.
Oh, of course,
sick. You get a cold. But I think it's very similar to COVID.
Of course,
COVID.
The media will scare anybody. But like you see interviews of people saying it's literally the most painful thing I've ever experienced in my entire life. Who needs it? Look at Jerry. Jerry's traumatized at the thought of monkeypox. Jerry, what's going on out there, bro?
Where are you, by the way?
I am in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, cool.
Random story. I know we've been talking about golf a lot. I'm playing a golf course last week, right? Really nice course out here, private club. Played really well. That night, I get a text from a number I haven't seen in a long time, but I know it. It's just, I don't have it locked in my phone for some reason. I'm like, I know this number. I get a text.
I know.
Heard you were playing the club right by where I grew up. Billy Marty.
Billy told me.
I forgot he's from Cleveland. I played Quail Hollow. And then he's like, yeah, I played Kevin. Kevin's played here. He actually likes this track.
Yeah, I played well there.
And
too.
So, yeah, that just brought back a whole whirlwind of memories because we played so many rounds with Billy when I first started playing. You know, yeah.
Billy
was a big part of the regular on the foursome.
Right. Yeah.
So that brought up a lot. Connelly, I do have to tell you something, though.
What do you got?
I'm doing this out of respect. You know, I don't want you to hear it on the street. You know,
Jesus.
You know, he's on the street a lot.
I bet you don't want you to hear from me. You know, we got a lot of things cooking. We talk a lot about future podcasts and live show. And we got things on the burner. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you got?
But, you know, I did get snatched up for a few months. It's a few months. It's not a long-term commit, but I don't want you to hear it in the announcements,
snatched up
in the trades.
What do you mean? Snatched
I,
up
I want
who?
You to hear from me.
Who snatched
now, for those
you
of
up?
You listening, this is what you do with friends. I know Connelly doesn't care. I know he's going to say, good for you. Keep it. But
I'm happy for you.
This is what we do as friends. I don't want you
trying
to be
telling me.
Whoa, Ferrara's podcasting with others? What's going on?
He's somewhat happy for you, I think.
I'm not totally happy. I'm not, you know, I'm by the way, I'm digesting. Tell me, do tell more. What is it that you're doing?
It's a little gambling podcast.
Sports gambling,
you know, it's legal almost everywhere for BetMGM. Me and Olivia Harlan Deck. I just didn't want you to see the release.
This is like. By the way, I love that we're doing this on the podcast as opposed to a call. I appreciate it because this is so.
On the street would have been bad.
This is
out
like that conversation, right? Like, hey. Just so you know, you're going to hear a couple things. I thought you'd better hear from me that you're doing a podcast, not at Action Park Media. Wow. Listen.
But by the way, if it's about gambling, you'd have to have my buddy Don Johnson on there. Professional gambler extraordinaire.
Would love to have Don Johnson, my mom's favorite actor of all time.
No, not that one.
Don
Johnson. I thought you met him, Jerry. You met Don. My buddy Don.
I know. Yes.
By the way, Jerry, what is the name of this new podcast?
It's called Unleashed. It was going on before me. I'm kind of a late addition to it.
They called you out of the bullpen?
Yeah. I'm getting tapped on the shoulder here. I'm starting to feel like Mariano in 96.
You're good audio.
Bringing the closer.
It does not sideline any things that we've been discussing about the future.
No conflict
with me and
Action
Park.
It's a separate project, right? It's like if we're Sony, but you're going to go do this movie at Universal.
Exactly.
It's not a lifetime contract with Universal.
It's a gig.
There's plenty of Jerry to go around.
Is it a weekly?
It's going to be a weekly. It's going to air every Thursday. You know, we'll be football heavy because it's kind of like, I don't know about you guys, but with me, like football, it's like the adult version of like back to school. You know, you start to feel the fall air.
I agree.
You know something's coming. Yeah.
It's no better feeling.
It's football season.
Especially since, right now,
I'm so fired up about the Mets, Yankees, Dodgers. These teams are all so damn good right now.
We're baseball fans.
I'm loving baseball right now. So I can't even think about football yet because the Mets are there for me. The Mets aren't always there. The Yankees are there a lot more. But right now, the Mets are killing it. 71 wins, man.
Mets are good. And I'm not going to lie. And listen, I know they're copying Mariano Rivera, but I'm not mad at that entrance from Diaz.
It's a great entrance.
It'd be easy to hate on. Have you seen this?
For the
closer, this Diaz guy, he does this like, there's their version of Enter Sandman, but it's like this like, just a cool ass.
It's incredible. It's a great entry song for coming
out of the bullpen.
Wow.
So listen, like I've always said, man, you know, like.
I will say it's the first time ever.
I hate the Red Sox. The Mets, I don't root against. I don't. I would rather beat the Red Sox, you know.
It is the first time since 2000. You know, I was nervous in 2000 during the Subway Series, but I still felt confident going in.
This is really the first time
I'm like, shit, the Mets are... I don't want to say it, but when we started getting that feeling in 2004 with the Red Sox, like, oh shit, the Red Sox are kind of good.
Right.
Like, for real.
Yeah.
And that, I do sort of feel like the Mets are really, really good.
Especially
I know the Yankees are really good,
back
too.
But, and throwing like he is right now.
God, he's
12 strikeouts in like six innings the other day.
He's throwing the ball very well.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The National League's tough. San Diego's tough.
Yes.
The Mets are tough.
Yeah.
The Dodgers are tough. It's going to be no easy stroll to the World Series. I mean, the National League is going to be... it's going to be tough. Okay, wow. So we got that clear.
And the Astros are tough.
The Astros are going to be tough for the Yankees.
I had to get that bit of family business
all right,
out of the way.
I'm glad.
Now we can move on. We can go on regularly scheduled program.
And by the way, listen, you know, whatever. These ships rise together. You know, we're happy to have you guys on the pod but sometime or and vice versa or whatever, however you want to do it.
We can do a home and home.
We can do a home and home. With the pod. What else is going on, Jerry? How's Ohio? Is it hot? It's hot as hell out there, right?
It's hot as balls. Having a really good time.
I haven't heard that in a while. He's been saying that for years.
The kids are running up the score on me and Bree. They're dominant.
Talk about
the Mets being dominant. My two kids are just dominating performances. By 10 o'clock this morning, I was like, I think I'm done for the day.
Jerry's athleticism is being tested.
There was five meltdowns.
Wow.
Oh, man. I was like, I literally think I'm physically done for the day. It was from like 6 to 10 in the morning and all hell broke loose in the Ferrara house. Wow. But it's good. My brother was just here with his kids.
Nice.
My mom is currently here right now with both of the kids, probably rolling meatballs while at the...
Nice.
She makes it look easy. It's like I struggle when I'm alone with the kids. My mom comes. She's literally making spaghetti and meatballs, watching both kids, kicking back a wine. I'm like, you just make me look like I'm useless.
I love your athleticism is being tested by your children. You're like, man, I'm fucking tired. It's 10:45.
Yeah, and I did bring, and Connelly, I guarantee you're going to do this with your daughter, and I'm sure, Dylan, you have. I played in this like 9-hole thing, and I brought Jacob. I'm filling in for my father-in-law, Handsome Mike, who's out with a back injury. So I'm in his golf league.
Wait, great.
It's Wednesday nights. It's only 2 hours. It's 9 holes, right? You're playing versus two other guys. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bring Jacob. He's 3 years old.
Yeah.
My father-in-law still comes and just rides in the cart with us. Stick him in the cart. And he lives 10 minutes from the course. If it's a bad thing, he'll just take him out. I get there. First hole. My opponent hit a nice drive. It's a par 5. I boom one down the middle. I literally get back to the cart. Jacob goes, nice shot, Dad. Fucking tears. I birdie the first hole Jacob ever sees me play. Birdie.
Nice.
My opponent's chipping from off the green. And you know, he's doing this practice chips. Every time he practiced chips, Jacob just goes, You missed. He's not seeing him hit the ball. I'm like, all right, we have to get this kid out of here.
Are you going to get a club? Funny. Are you going to get a club in his hand soon?
Yeah, you got to get him going.
Oh, it's in the hands. Haven't seen the natural. I'm no Earl Woods, by the way.
Right. He's three.
But
I mean, I guess Tiger was on the Tonight Show.
It's good to get him
even
start that swing at three. Might as well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you might as well
lock him in now.
You know, when you do the same workout over and over and over again, it can get boring, all right? You gotta keep it fresh. You gotta keep mixing it up. You don't want to do the same thing. It's just tough to stay motivated. You burn out so easy. That's why Peloton is pushing you further with so much more. On the Peloton Bike and Peloton Bike Plus, there's new classes, new music, new ways to keep your workouts fun and motivating. You know, I've been mixing it up. I tried boxing, and Peloton is stepping into the ring with its newest discipline. No gloves needed. Fast, furious, a fun workout with Peloton instructors in your corner. Even if you've never boxed before, these classes will have you working up a sweat while working on the fundamentals of form, footwork, and fun combos that'll keep you on your toes. There's more daily workout variety. You know, it's way easier to stick to your goals when you keep your workouts interesting. Peloton has a workout for every day and every schedule. De-stress from a long day with 30 minutes of strength and 20 minutes of cardio, or do a quick 15-minute total body workout class before work. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. That's onepeloton.com. By the way, have you guys been watching The Captain? Jerry, I know you watch The Captain.
What's The Captain?
AKA, also known as Yankee
it's
porn.
Like, it's like The Last Dance for Derek Jeter.
Oh,
it's
I heard
really
about
good.
It.
By the way, if just as a baseball fan, you'll love it. It's pretty
well,
incredible.
I love Derek.
Yeah.
Derek's great.
And you know, it is bringing up things I don't remember over the years. You talk about like how people's memory, like I didn't remember the Yankees being up 3-0 against the Red Sox in 2004. I thought it was 2-0 with a lead. They were 3-0 with a 1-1 lead to Mariano on the mound.
Right. And by the way, they blew leads in games 4, 5, 6. I mean, like they blew late leads.
I didn't remember. Yeah. I just didn't remember the
how
3-0
bad lead.
And
was.
I didn't remember. I knew we swept the Padres. I didn't remember sweeping the Braves. And I didn't remember going 12-1 in 3 World Series. I didn't remember that. Like that number never got talked about. They went 12-1 in 3 World Series.
That's amazing.
It's pretty fucking incredible.
That is. I got to go 10-1, man. I was in a car for an hour. So I'm going to go 10-1. I'll be right back.
It's good Yankee porn.
Go ahead.
For
those of you not in the business, 10-1 means Kevin Dillon will be urinating. Right?
10-2 I will not be doing.
That's it. Dog Tip Dave goes 10-2. Dylan goes 10-1. That's industry jargon.
So wait, do we keep it rolling?
Yeah, well, we're gonna keep it rolling. We can't. Dylan, he's 10 minutes late, and now he's got to take a pee break at the 15-minute mark of the podcast.
This is like a live show. It's like this is literally like a live show.
It's literally like the live show. All right, Jerry. So while Dylan's out, we'll get back to that little piece of business. So you're doing a podcast. Good for you. Congratulations. Fill in. You're going to sit down. You're going to knock it out, right? The stuff that you and I are talking about is more long form, almost higher concept stuff anyway.
Yeah. Like I said, and like, you know, we've been talking about it for a while. When we're going to do it, we're going to do it, and it's going to be right. But yeah, I just didn't like, and I even asked Bree, I'm like, I should tell Connelly, right? She's like, well, I mean, he's, because she was like, he's not going to really, what was he going to say? Like, no, he's going to be happy for you.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, but you don't understand. Like when you read something and you're close with someone, it's like, why wouldn't you just drop a text?
Yeah.
Like, yo, I don't know. That's how I am.
No, of course, buddy. I'm two things. First, of course, I'm happy for you. I think it's awesome.
Right.
And yeah, of course. By the way, if I would have read that, we would have dissected it here at Victory the Podcast, and we would have called you. We would have called you in. But
well, Doug, yeah. I'm sure would have been
When this hits the waves, Doug is going to be. What do you mean? He's doing this. Doug is going to be the one that you're going to have to talk off the ledge.
Until February, Doug, bro. It's like, it already is. Might as well be February.
Doug is
might as well be over already.
Doug's going to be listening to this podcast and he's going to go, my goodness. He's going to see the social clip. But that's great, man. Good for you. And is it like sports heavy? Do you do a lot of research, a lot of homework?
Sports heavy, but not like the X's and O's. Like, look, if you want to go listen to the guy talk about like the backup offensive lineman who's going to get reps, there's a million places for you where you could go. You know, we just recorded the first episode today, and
the vocal cords do seem warm.
Also, you know, for those of you listening, like I think I'm officially done with fantasy football.
So, well, that's what I was gonna ask you. So you don't want to play in the APM league now? Why is that? What is it about that?
First of all, now that gambling is widely accepted, which is such a big part of my childhood, and it's still weird to think that it's like legal almost everywhere now.
Do you remember when you had the lock? Whatever. We'll get
some
to that.
Unnamed people lost a lot of money on that lock.
Jerry comes in one day and I remember we were shooting. It was the Queens Boulevard screening. And it was supposed to be at Sundance, but we were shooting at the
end. A lot of downtime.
We're sitting in the theater seats.
Watching a movie.
I know Dylan was in on this. I don't know if he'll remember, but we were shooting the Queens Boulevard and it was supposed to be at Sundance, but we were at the Egyptian in like Silver Lake. And Jerry comes in and he sits down and he looks at us and he said, I got a lock this week or like on this game.
I think it was a college basketball game of the century.
Right.
I think it says the lock of the century.
Dog shit college basketball game of two teams that neither of us had ever heard of. I'm like, Jerry, what do you mean? What are you talking about?
I heard some things.
And we all got our fucking asses handed to us. Even Grenier, who jumped in on the action just to be part of
it. I think it was just a first and only bet.
By the way, Grenier got married. Did you know?
I saw that. I saw. Well, yeah, we had the, you know, we were just
going back and forth, right? Well, I told Jerry. I don't think there was a widespread invite list. Right. We were feeling each other out to see if you got the invite. You didn't want to say.
But man, were you teed up to mess with Doug? Just be like, yeah, I was there. It's great.
I said, Doug, did you get invited? And he's like, looks at me and he takes a pause. He's like, no.
Did you?
I was like, I did not. But Adrian.
You guys made it. You guys were the only ones in my wedding.
Right, and we went to Jerry's wedding. I mean, listen,
it's Jerry's, but you were the only guys.
Still the most. You were the only guys at my wedding. Was that? Didn't we win money too?
We went
to your wedding, Dylan.
Yeah, we did. We won at craps.
By the way, we did. Maybe we a little blackjack. Really
feel
well.
Like we won money.
Yeah.
No, the time when we won money was when Grenier was with us. Because it was all four of us. We were there.
Well, no,
we know
about that one. That was a big. Well,
that was the big crap. That was an hour long crap roll.
Or maybe someone won money. I just feel like there was a victory, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, I mean that would have been the only victory. That situation.
That would have been the only victory. That's interesting. Dylan, do you play fantasy football?
No.
You'd be good at
it. I'm out.
Is it just because now gambling is like there's so much fun to be had there and it's like a different kind of, because for me, I always felt like fantasy saved me money.
Definitely does. But I just look at it like, all right, you're gonna sit through like a 2-hour draft. You're gonna put all your hopes on like Christian McCaffrey.
By the way, he's my number one pick.
And then they get hurt in week two, and your whole fucking season's over, and there's nothing you can do about it. Mm-hmm. And guys stop setting their lineup. I just would much rather go week to week, control the gambling element of it. You could do the same kind of over-unders. Like, you know what? I think Christian McCaffrey's going to have 130 yards. So I'm going to bet the over on his yards. Put a little sprinkle, a little nugget on it.
Yeah. And, 100 here, 150 and go from there. Here.
So I'm out.
You're out.
I'm out on fantasy football. Yeah.
Listen, fantasy football is a lot of work. I just think, well, we're doing the APM league, but that's the thing. You don't want guys in the league that aren't 100% committed to it. Because Dylan, it does take a year
to learn. It's a lot of work.
It does take a year to learn. But Dylan, you'd be good at fantasy football.
But the other thing too, Kynes, you touched on, you're doing it at Action Park. It's like the camaraderie element was always the best part of fantasy. Even when we used to do the goal league and we used to live draft at goal and Ben Lyons used to make awful picks in the corner booth while fucking just drinking
ridiculous.
A Bloody Mary. Like that's the fun
he's
part.
He's drafting New York Knicks for his fantasy football team.
I feel like that's all gone. I feel like, so I would say with your league over there, really push the camaraderie.
Yeah, we're
some
having,
games together.
You gotta be at the draft.
Yeah, for sure.
Unless it's like we're doing a 10-team draft and unless it's an extreme circumstance, but if you're in LA, you gotta come for the draft. That's just the rules that we're setting. Yeah, throw some beer, have some beers, maybe order a couple pizzas and we'll do it. But Dylan,
when do we all get on the golf course? If you guys want to do it, I'll do it.
You know what, Dylan, you could do? You could partner up with somebody that could carry the brunt of the work. And then that way you wouldn't have to worry about because Jerry, what Jerry said is true. And this is the bummer about fantasy leagues. Once you're sort of mathematically eliminated, you do have an obligation to your league members to at least continue to try to win games, right, Jerry? I mean, that's what you're saying. Guys don't put lineups towards the end of the season. Right?
Yeah, people check out. Next, they start four people who are on bye week. So it's like an easy win for the other guy. And it just takes out the... That's why I'd rather just like control my own destiny and losses and just fucking...
Yeah.
Just bet on the games, man. It's fun. It's now accepted.
By the way, have you seen Dylan dominating? Click on... Grab your TV and click on Hulu and the first thing that comes up... By the way, you didn't tell me that you played somebody named Connolly and... What are we talking about? We're talking about you are on the cover of the Hulu homepage, Dylan. When you pull up Hulu...
The guy's name is Connolly.
Dylan played a guy named Connor Connolly.
Which probably... Yes.
And he never told me about it. I mean, we
you
looked
played
at
a Connolly?
Today. Played a
you
Connolly.
You know what?
It was spelled like me, too. One
of those 7-day movies where they kind of... they all run together when you do a couple 7-dayers. But yeah, that movie was fun.
But you know what they're doing with Dylan now, cool. Jerry, too? Like, they're putting Dylan out in front of these. Like, Dylan's,
as they
like,
should.
Dylan's sliding up the...
Mel Gibson's really the guy out front. But you're up there, bro. I'm up there.
You're
the
up
two
there.
Of us
I don't know. When I pulled up that Hulu thing today, we were like, Jesus Christ, right here in the office. I'm like, God damn, it's Dylan playing Connolly, spelt like me, and he didn't tell me. I don't know. He didn't think...
Dylan, you've done so much stuff, right, that if I fall asleep with the TV on, I feel like there's like a 50% chance at some point there's going to be a movie that you were in from your career. And I'm going to like hear your voice in my dream.
And
you're
going to have a nightmare.
Like,
you're
going to
be like,
and I'm going to wake up and just be like, oh, fuck. The Doors is blasting on my TV. I hear Dylan's voice. No wonder I had an Entourage dream or something.
Yo, if you started HBO, by the time you get down to... epics and you get through all the show times, you will come across the Kevin Dillon project. There's a very good
several
chance
times.
At some
yeah.
point you'll
yeah.
come across the Kevin Dillon project. So Kev, what's going on? You're back?
I got to say that, you know, this Buddy Games too.
Was it hard?
It's going to be great. It's going to be so good.
Really?
It's going to be hilarious.
Well, I'm assuming the budget goes up a little bit. Did you feel like you had a little more time on Buddy Games 2 than Buddy Games 1
yes.
in terms of?
Yeah, we had, I think, maybe 5 extra days, which is big.
It's an eternity, bro.
Yes.
You just told us you shot a movie in 7 days.
Yes.
So 5 additional days, that's great.
It's
so
big time,
you feel good about
and,
it.
Yeah, and I had more to do. My character had more to do in this one. So
How's my guy Swartzen?
He's great. Yeah, Nick is awesome, man. He's
looked
such
like
a
you guys
great
love Swartzen.
You will not find a bigger Minnesota Vikings fan in the world.
He does love himself.
Well, Josh Duhamel as well. The two of them are big Viking guys, so.
Oh my God, I don't know if there's any set that had that much Viking talk in the history of movie sets.
Yeah, it was the off season, so otherwise we probably wouldn't, they wouldn't shut up, but.
Did you guys hang out? Did you guys
talk
a
little bit about the twins as well?
You spend a lot of time together, you guys?
Yeah, every day.
Right. hung out. Yeah, I mean,
me, Nick, and Dan, and Josh, you know, went out to dinner pretty much a lot.
Right.
And on our days off, me and Nick and Dan would just go play pinball. We'd go find a pinball machine somewhere. We all love pinball.
I did see that on social media.
Yeah.
And then what's up? So what do you got? Are you going to be around? What's the next?
I got like a month off. I was going to go back to New York for a little bit, see the family. Jerry, you should come out, meet me at Wingfoot. We'll do a little
golf.
I'm
going to New York next week, and then in another 3 weeks, I'll probably be there. We'll overlap.
We got a good chance of running into, you know, hanging out in New York, so that'll be fun.
I'd like to play Wingfoot.
You should get out with the three of us.
Oh, that, you know what? That's what I was going to say. We talked about it a little bit before, but that is probably... Aside from what we joke around on the darker side of it, like aside from like anxiety on like at awards shows, my biggest regret is not jumping into that fucking golf world. I passed up some really good opportunities that I get. Like I think about you guys and I get it. And
yeah,
I'm
gearing
it.
Up for
I
one.
I get it 15 years too late.
Yeah.
I just
yeah.
remember going, look at
well, so did I.
Just remember
so did
going,
Jerry, by the way. We should have got it when we were
just remember,
12.
I just remember you guys going, like, I'm like, what's wrong with you guys? Grow up. You guys
Kevin,
are like giddy. You're like giddy kids, like practicing your putts and just like, I'm like, these guys are like,
we
in their
go on
own
lunch
world.
Breaks.
Yeah.
We go on lunch breaks to the par three at
what's it?
Rancho.
Rancho.
And we literally play nine holes in an hour and come back and shoot the rest of it and shoot another 8 hours.
No one knows what you're looking for in a doctor better than you. And no one's better at giving you the tools to find the perfect doctor than ZocDoc. The people who created ZocDoc found the major pain points in healthcare, all things that weren't working, and said, you know what? That's enough. And they made booking a great doctor surprisingly pain-free. ZocDoc is a free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. Read up on local doctors, get verified patient reviews, and see what other real humans had to say about their visit. So when you walk into the doctor's office, you set up to see someone in your network who gets you. Go to ZocDoc.com, choose a time slot, and whether you want to see the doctor in person or do a video visit. And just like that, boom, you're booked. Go to ZocDoc.com/victory and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then you start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/victory. ZocDoc.com/victory.
You know, Jerry, I take a little liberty with this story because I have a real take on it. The Pro-Am. I've told people the story. We've talked about it. We've talked about it here, right? So you had
it's been on the show before. It's been on the airwaves before. We're
Mike,
not breaking new
Mike,
ground.
The Mike Bolton story has been told on Victory the Podcast.
You know,
Michael Bolton.
I really
thought you were saying
some time. Right? I spent some time thinking about this because, like, I don't want
to
be
bring everybody up
unfair,
to
and this is by no
bring
way
us, Jerry, bring everybody up to speed. Paint the picture. Paint the picture.
I'm going to paint the picture. And this is what I mean. Like, this trip, this event, it doesn't even exist anymore. It used to be called the Mercedes-Benz, right? Mm-hmm. It's the first PGA tournament of the year. You could only qualify if you've won a previous event as a PGA Tour player.
Yeah,
so it's only 30 guys. Small
like
tournament, but it's in Maui.
Right.
It's at Kapalua.
Right. Who doesn't want to play in that?
Didn't I play in it?
Yeah.
With you.
Dylan, you're going to come up
Dylan,
in this
you're
story
in, this
in a
story.
Big way, bro.
Okay, all right.
In a good way. In a
yeah,
very
we
good
all
way.
Played
no,
it. I couldn't remember if I played before Entourage, because that was early on in Entourage.
That's
we all
saying.
Played
yeah,
together.
Right. I wish I was there.
Listen, guys, you got to understand where I was in my life at this point. I'm 29 years old. I even think I just started like dating Jamie. I'm like on top of the world, but life is good. Finally, for the first time in my life, I'm enjoying myself. I'm playing up. I get this invite. Dylan's like, let's go.
To Hawaii.
Maui, bro.
I mean, like,
they fly you first class. This is as top of the line as it gets.
I'm so
even saying this
right
in a braggish way.
I'm pissed.
And here's the best part about it. So I play in I played in those things. Dylan and I played in the beach bowl. I played in the NBA celebrity game. And my problem is like, I'm competitive. I go, yeah, I want to have a good time. I want to fucking win. And I know you do too. Like, if we're going to go, we want to play well and win.
Right.
A lot of these things, like, people just, it's not, they're not trying to win. They don't care. And and maybe that's the better way to do it. Maybe you should just have a good time. It's all for charity.
If you're out there,
like
if you're out there, let's go for the W.
Yeah.
And I was on the flight. And at the time, my buddy Max Greenfield came with me just because I had a plus one. And I guess Jamie and I weren't quite there early in our relationship. So I'm like, no, I can't invite her just yet. Me and Max went. On the flight, Anthony Anderson's coming to play. Mm-hmm. He starts the whole thing. On the plane, he's calling to me. He's like, motherfucker, I'm winning this whole fucking thing.
Right. He was going out there to win.
He's like, you can land and fly right back. This is a waste of your time. I'm like, okay, let's go. you get like your own apartment at the fucking Ritz, like an apartment.
Unbelievable.
You're
yeah,
getting gorgeous. Driven around. I'm blown away by this thing. So the night before, you have like a dinner party, drinks. Again, I'm feeling myself. I don't get drunk often. I'm tipsy to the
Did
point
Did you have
where,
a couple cocktails, Jerry? Because Jerry's not a big drinker. No. Jerry, you were bad.
They're announcing the quote unquote celebrities that are there. They're going like one by one. And they get to this one person. This is how his intro goes. This next guy is a 2-time Super Bowl award winner. He's a 3-time MVP. Blah, blah. And I stand, as a joke, I stand up and go like this.
My God.
And I realize it's fucking John Elway.
Right.
It was John Elway.
I was going to say, you must have been hammered.
I go up to Elway. Me and Max go up to Elway. And I'm like, John, you want to play our practice round with us tomorrow? He's like, what time? We're like, they gave us a 6:39 a.m. tee time. I was 6:30. He's like, fuck no. Hell no. We keep going. He comes up to me at the end of the night. He's like, I'm in for that fucking practice round. Dylan, I think it was me, Max, and Elway.
You guys played around with Elway?
Yeah.
Practice round?
Amazing golf. He's like a one handicap.
He was
like,
really,
no joke.
Really good.
Right. Of course he is.
So
it's
we're
John
having
Elway.
The time of our life.
We hacked it up.
Then you get,
we did not
you get
play well.
With like, yeah.
I mean, I remember sitting out there in the morning and all you could see was so dark.
Are you talking about the practice round?
The sun hadn't come up yet. I'm sitting there with Elway watching the lights from all the lawnmowers going right. up and down on the lawn. It was unbelievable. Waiting to tee it off.
Right. So you guys, the practice round didn't go well.
Practice round. Then you get paired with like your PGA pro. Yeah, you get paired with your pro. I get paired with Jeff Ogilvy, who's coming off back-to-back U.S. Open wins.
At Wingfoot.
Right? At the height of his powers. I think at this point, I'm down as an 18 handicap. I'm probably actually higher. I might actually have been like a 20. Mm. And maybe at that point, we didn't want to miss. So
it was early on. You might have been a 20.
VJ.
You might have been
VJ
a 20.
Singh.
I played with VJ Singh. I actually
VJ
thought
Singh,
Dylan
was
going to win. Yeah, I'm like, Dylan and fucking VJ
yeah,
Singh.
This I think we did pretty incredible. Well, but we didn't, yeah, we didn't win.
And we go out and play. I sucked the first couple of holes.
This is
nothing.
Now this is now the day of the tournament. This is the practice
this is the
round.
And
goes.
Remember, they're playing, the PGA guys are playing for like a $1 million.
Oh, they're playing.
Price. So
they're
like,
playing. Yeah.
They're talking to you. Ogilvy didn't talk to me for like the first four holes. Finally, his caddy comes up to me. Australia, he's Australian. They're like, oh, we love the show. In Australia, I'm like, thank God, because I'm like, Ogilvy's not saying a fucking word to me. I know I suck, but
you think he was like a little mad at you? Like, oh God, look at this donkey that I got.
No, I don't think I think a lot of these guys just don't like this format. You know, they're out there working and they don't want to.
Right. They're playing for $1 million. They don't want to play with a guy that's an 18
year old.
He
got me yapping in his ear. Yeah. And it's only a 2-day event for them, so it could be a chance to win an easy $1 million. So we get to the fifth hole. Now Ogilvy's talking to me. I'm relaxed. It's like 170-yard par three. Kevin, I fucking strike one 2 feet. Knock in birdie. Great. Natural birdie for me. Unbelievable. A few holes later, we get to another par three. I think it's 11. Stick it to like 7 feet. Knock in the birdie. That's all I did. The entire round. I made 2 natural birdies.
Right. What you got
and
strokes
not one
on
other
those
score
holes.
Factored in.
So those were eagles.
They were
right?
probably net
yes.
eagles.
Right.
Yeah.
Net right. eagles. Nothing else factored in. We don't know who won at this point. We go to the party afterwards. And again,
and you finish the round and you don't know. You're like, all right, well, we did well, but like I birdied a couple holes.
Right. Basically. So you go right to the party after. Again, having some cocktails, which you guys could vouch. I don't normally.
This is a shocking turn of events.
I think this is prime for our
year. We smoking cigarettes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes.
All right.
Cigarettes.
That helps
drinking.
Me. That helps me put things in line as to where you are in your journey.
Wait, you were drinking on the golf course that day?
No. This is at like the party after. Yeah. So what happened was, I think if memory serves me correctly, me and Bolton tied, right, for the pro-am.
By the way,
and then what
they
do
is about that sentence that you just said.
They like square. They go. Then they go hole by hole. Like, okay, round one, they parred, you parred. Two, you like they go hole by hole and they get to the fifth hole and I birdied it. And that's what decided the championship. And they hand me the trophy. And I'm being a dick. I'm talking shit to everyone. And Bolton like comes and like checks the scorecard. And he's like, oh yeah. Birdied 5, you birdied 11. I might have sprinkled in like a bogey on a very tough par 4. That was it. And he's like, you're an 18? I'm like, yeah. Isn't that good? He's like, yeah, sure. 18, like rolls his eyes. Now, that's probably not an egregious thing.
What's his number? What is he?
I don't even remember, but
he's
a good golfer.
Right? Right.
Well, yeah, he plays in these things a lot. And he's actually a really good guy, but...
Jerry, what was
your total score? You still probably shot a big number there, right? I mean, it's Kapalua, and it was set up tough.
Yes, I just think he was like an 18 handicap should not have 2 birdies and like a bogey on the toughest hole.
It can happen.
The big hand, that's the problem. The big handicap is always going to be more advantageous. Am I right? I mean, if you shoot a better, if you shoot a decent round, right? Like I'm a 17.1, but I could go out and shoot at a 14, like on any given
day. And you'll murder everybody.
Yeah.
And you'll beat everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. But I am a legitimate 17.1. I just, you know.
And maybe I was a little insecure about it because all he did like a little like again, it wasn't nothing egregious. I shouldn't have, but I was a little tipsy. So I fly a little off the handle. I'm like, what the fuck, bro? You got a fucking problem in my head? And then next thing you know, it's like, you know, it's a classy event. Actually, you know, like John Hamm comes over. Like, hey,
take
whoa,
it
whoa.
Easy. Hey,
whoa,
relax.
Calm down, guys. And in LA.
That's fun.
And LA's I'm now like, getting more fight. It was actually Dylan who was like the voice of reason. He was like, yeah, guys, gosh, chill. He's like, now I've golfed with Jerry before. I've seen him make some birdies. So it's all, we're all, it's all good here. And it kind of brought the energy down a little bit. But I don't know what the fuck was in me this weekend.
Said, like, listen, Michael Bolton, not today. Like,
I was like, Michael Bolton, what do you want? You want to fucking go outside? What do you want to do?
Say, Michael,
we're up in the fucking Mercedes
Jerry,
parking
where
lot?
Is the trophy?
It's, I have to go dig it. I have it.
That should be on full display somewhere.
It's in his trophy room. That's where he's
at. I have that and I have my Beach Bowl MVP award in the bathroom.
Now, Dylan, you played in that one as well, right? Didn't Jerry make
it? What is it called? The Beach Bowl what?
The DirecTV Beach Bowl. It was in Dallas, Texas at the Super Bowl.
Yes.
You guys played. It's funny.
We were there together.
But I had my family there, right?
I think you were there. It was the Packers-Steelers Super Bowl in Dallas. It snowed in Dallas, which hadn't snowed
that's right,
in like
that's
10
right.
years.
Yeah, my brother Paul, my whole family.
I was there, but I couldn't make it to the game. I never made it to the game. But Jerry, you put on a clinic and you won the MVP, right?
I put on a clinic, won the MVP. And again, I was a dick. I caught a touchdown on Eddie George, right? Who's the strongest human I've ever encountered in my life. And I caught the ball and I pretended to sign it and I threw it at Eddie George and I did a sand angel.
Yeah.
And then Eddie George came up to me after. He's like, motherfucker, I have a torn ACL. Stop trying to fucking show off. I'm like, okay, sorry, Mr. George, you're right.
Oh, okay.
I
know what we're talking about
fun.
Now. We're talking about the football thing. Okay, yeah. I thought you were talking about a golf event.
Right. No,
Jerry
no, the football
was
thing.
Great
the football thing. It's flag
in that
football
event.
In sand.
I couldn't even cover him. I was so hungover and he was like, oh, you
Jerry,
were lightning
Jerry,
fast.
I went to bed at like 8 o'clock the night before, bro. I went out and tried to win MVP.
I was trying to put a zone D on you and it was not working. You were finding all the seams and they fired in so fast too that you can't get to it, you know?
Me and Jesse Palmer, a lot of chemistry.
We're gonna dig up a couple clips from that because I will say, come on, bro. Nobody loves that stuff more than me.
Connelly,
there
again,
was a couple of times, Jerry, where I was like, wow. It's the antics that Ferrara was pulling.
Oh, at the Beach Bowl. You watched it?
I was like, I saw, but we were talking. I mean, whatever. We were talking.
Years ago.
I probably talked to you that night or that day. Believe me, I'm sure I was one of your...
You're horrified by my
behavior. I was one of your very early calls once you were awarded.
One of my early critics.
You deserve to celebrate like that. You were great in that game. I mean, he was amazing.
He was great, but his antics were... I mean, I was like, this is like, who is this person?
Vouch for me. I am not typically like that.
You are not that. That was that performance on the football field was like nothing.
I was like,
T.O. You just did. And then you gave a horrendous post-game interview. Do you remember that?
Where he
basically
it was a
accused everybody else
Tony
of wasting his time.
Here's exactly how it went. And it was a halftime interview. We were losing at halftime. But I had two touchdowns, all that shit. Tony Siragusa, rest in peace, Tony Siragusa, recently passed away. Wow. Raven legend comes up to me. He's covering like the sideline or whatever for DirecTV. I'm all out of breath because I still smoked cigarettes back then. He's like, hey, Jerry, you got two touchdowns with your team still down. What do you want to say to your teammates? I go, play more like me.
Do you believe he says that at the half about his team?
Love it.
No,
love it.
Play like me. Was what you said.
I'm horrified.
It was, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was a complete meltdown by Ferrara.
I think even Tony Siragusa was like, yeah, way to be a real fucking team guy after I walked away.
Jerry had one of those catches where like he caught it and you got on your tippy toes and you got your feet down and you did something. I mean, it just was like, there was
a toe tapper.
There was like three or four incidents, bro. Three or four, quote, the interview. Oh man, we're going to put it together.
Maybe there's a reason why I haven't been at any of those events in a long time.
It's a good thing that wasn't tackled. They would have been trying to line you up. They were like, yo, let him come over the middle. Let's see what he has to say. That's funny, man. That's funny. Yeah, we're going to dig that up. We'll dig that up. You must have that, right? You got
it. I have it somewhere, but yeah.
I don't know why they're not displayed. How could that not be displayed in your thing back there?
The Beach Bowl one's right here.
Oh, the Beach Bowl one. But is there a reason why
the Kapalua one, the one from Maui, that we're going like 09.
I know, but do you feel weird about putting that out there? Do you feel weird about putting that one up on the like Bolton? Do you like maybe you didn't? Oh, there you go. That's the DirecTV. That's the DirecTV. There you go.
Nice.
Buddy.
Yeah, Dan Patrick gave me the award and it was like, you are awful. You need to take a few years off from this event.
Yeah, that was fun, man. But those were good ones. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why I didn't play that one. Thank God. I probably would have gotten hurt.
Well, Connelly, I really would love for you to play in one of these events, the golf ones.
Yeah.
Dylan knows. I have one coming up. I know, like, I just know now that you're into it, you will enjoy the occasion.
Dylan's taken me to a couple. We went to the Chelios one in Chicago. We had a great time.
Right. I know you did the Jeter one. I can't. Like,
you should do the Chelios one this year, Jerry.
Where is that one?
Especially if you're coming from Ohio to Chicago. It's
hop,
a short
skip,
flight.
And a jump.
Oh, dude, I would love to.
All right, let's do it. The three of us. It's a fun one.
That'll be
fun. He's the best. He's a great dude.
Yeah. What? Anyone coming up? Are there anyone's coming up? Or?
I am playing in 2 weeks. I got
invites. A couple of invites on my phone right here.
I think I got the Wahlberg one in
Naples,
Detroit.
Florida, with David Ortiz.
Ooh,
Poppy.
Just came in today, actually.
You got to be in that circle, right?
Yeah.
You got to be in that circle.
Yo,
guys.
Once you start doing them, they come in all the time.
Right. I'm into it. Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. There are so many ways to support a healthy brain. I've talked about it before. I love to take a power nap. I also love to put my phone down, get out there, and play 18 glorious holes of golf. But there's also BetterHelp online therapy. Now, when we talk about therapy, some people, I don't need therapy. It's not for me. Well, regardless of whether or not you think you need it, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but there is zero downside to therapy. It's never going to hurt you. It can only help you. And BetterHelp online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat only therapy sessions. You don't even need to see anybody. You can turn your camera off. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy. And you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Our listeners get 10% off the first month at betterhelp.com/victory. That's better, HELP.com/victory. All right, so Jerry's dropped a bomb on us today.
Yeah.
He's doing a separate podcast, but he's still part of the Action Park Media.
When do you guys get Doug back? What episode are you guys about to enter? What on the recap part?
We are
what's
next,
coming up?
The next episode is the last episode of season 3. So it's Adios Amigos, which I watched and it's outrageous.
that could go either way, outrageous.
Outrageous, like it just is like we go to
we're
get.
We're back with Ari at this point.
What happens?
Right?
We go to get Reese and he's being his Wally Balls on the porn set.
Oh, that's right.
He's on
right.
the porn
that's
set.
Right. He's like, I'm bringing back
the bush.
He goes,
the big bush.
Retro porn and the wide bush.
The wide bush.
The wide bush. You remember like all the, just like all this, like all the background and like the fluffer, the whole thing. I mean, it was really uncomfortable.
What are we doing in that? What's our, I know, I don't want to do too much.
We must have some side storyline, some B storyline.
What are we all doing?
That was it's when the naked midget walked behind me in the middle. I actually got a little annoyed with my lot because I'm like doing like a serious scene and like everybody's like starts falling down on the ground behind the camera. I'm like, what's so funny? And then like in playback, it's like, oh, okay, look.
You see what's going on behind you.
Like a naked midget walked by. It was fluffers. I think you guys are pretty deep into Five Towns, right? Am I making?
I don't remember.
It's crazy,
I mean,
Jerry. We have no
idea. I usually remember this stuff. Season 3 always messes me up because it's the season 3A.
It was so 3B, long.
This is
so
season
always,
3B. Yeah. This is the end of the epic season, and it ends with us cheersing, and we're going off to Columbia, right? So
where did we do the cheers?
At the Mondrian.
The Mondrian.
We did
okay.
it at the Mondrian.
I do remember that.
Yeah. So that's the end. That's the end of the season. But
oh wait, are we like living in your apartment? The Johnny Drama?
No, not
apartment?
Yet.
Living
not yet.
With,
not
yet.
Season
next
three.
Season.
Not yet.
Not yet. No, we moved into the Mondrian until we're going to do the movie. But
you know, I got asked today. This guy Cam Hayward, who plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know if you saw on Twitter. He tweeted at me and he's like, yeah, I'm here in training camp. And I was like, I'm watching Entourage all the way through. He's like, I watch like 7 o'clock in the morning because our first meeting's at like 8. And then he's like, first question. And he asked me, he's like, how fucking much money did Turtle make? Yeah. I need to know.
You should break that down.
He made a lot. He made a lot.
I don't think Doug's ever really thought that far down. But like, did Turtle make more money than Vince? Like, was Turtle worth more?
Maybe.
1,000%.
What's Vince worth in the movie? What's Vince worth in the Entourage
movie?
Listen,
this has always been a point of contention for Toby.
Right.
Toby has always had a problem with our finances. Toby's like, I think Marvin's doing a terrible job. It's literally impossible. It's literally impossible for you guys to be doing what you're doing. But our finances were always a mess. But Turtle had no overhead. I mean,
did he make 50? Did he make 100? Did he make 300?
No, I think it was, 75, 50, something like that, that he made? I don't know. That's a good question. But here's the thing.
And then you have to assume Turtle got killed in the crypto market. Brian lost a lot of his money.
Well, it's funny because that's what would be, people talk about the reboot, right? Like how
that would be the reboot.
Turtle's entire life is cryptocurrency.
Desolate. He's 100%. On the street. He's got no money.
You're like one of those crazy people that only believes in crypto.
How bad is the crypto thing right now?
I think it's all pretty terrible.
Is it bad?
What if Turtle was a QAnonist or Turtle? What if Turtle stormed the Capitol?
that could easily happen.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't know what to say to him. I'm like, I put my rough estimate at like 50 to 75 million was my that's what
and
he was
you
worth.
Got
in,
taxes,
in the movie. Rough estimate.
You got taxes and like how much of that company do you own?
But like, don't sleep on Johnny Drama. He has TV money. He's coming off a Golden Globe win. He's about to get paid.
Yeah, but he's probably self-destructed somewhere along the way. You know what I mean? He's got to be hurting again.
Yeah,
got to be. He's mooching off a turtle now, probably.
Because that's the other thing. We had Marlon on, Rufus.
Yes. Oh, my God. I love that. I see him in every commercial on TV. He's like a 97 commercials.
We had a soft Cohen on who played Yair.
Can you talk about our story in Cannes? Do you remember that one?
No. He glossed over Cannes and he basically said that Grenier took him under his wing and he sort of gave the impression that, did something happen with you and Yair?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
You guys had words.
Yes.
Really? Wow. I did not know that.
No, we didn't have words. No. Love it. It is no bad blood, but right. You know, we were what? How long were we in Cannes for?
It was
72
quick.
Hours?
It was quick, man. For me, I never even got the jet lag till I got back. That's how quick I
right.
was.
Right. We all worked. I was the only, on the last day, which our flight was the same day. It was like later that night, right? Of the next day. But we were out at we had some drinks at a party, but we were like, wasn't like a rager, but it's the actual festival's going on. So there's people everywhere. I had to do my side of a phone call. I think with Constance, believe it or not. I think it was like with Constance while we're negotiating the sale. So that was the only thing left. So I had to shoot at like 7 o'clock in the morning. So we're out. We had gone to dinner, all of us, and we went to like a casual party. Now it's like 10 o'clock at night. Impossible to get a cab. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't speak the language, but because it's the real festival's going on.
Yeah, I was just there.
Finally,
it's still like that, getting a cab.
We're all like hustle, bustle. Like finally, I think some people got some. And then like one cab rolls up and like me and him both have our hand up.
Like straight out of
ahead of me.
Oh, I remember this.
And the door opens and he's like about to get in. And we just were discussing I got to get up at like 5:30 in the fucking morning.
Right.
And we look at each other.
I'm the star of the show and I'm working tomorrow and I'm going to need this
cab. I'm working tomorrow.
I need this cab.
How about I got to be up in 7 hours.
Yes.
And he gets in the cab and rides off into the French Riviera night.
He drove off into the sunset.
With me and Reese. And then this is a true story. Reese goes, "Hey, Jerry, man, I did this walk last night. I know how to walk back to the hotel."
Oh, that's you could get so lost. In Cannes, and those...
It's probably 11 o'clock at night. I have like a 6 a.m. call to me and Reese start walking. And we're walking like the strip, so I recognize things. But our hotel was off the strip. We were not at the Hotel de Cannes,
wherever the fuck it is.
We were up in the hill. We start walking up this hill. It's like the Laurel Canyon of fucking Cannes.
Yeah.
2 hours later, I'm like, "Reese, do you really know where the fuck you're going?" He's like, "I did, but now I didn't see this. I don't remember this." I'm like,
"I got lost.
I did not get back
too.
To my hotel room." And again, smoking cigarettes, so I'm not in good shape. Walking up a fucking canyon, I got back to my hotel room at 4:30 in the morning.
Dude,
I ate a little breakfast, put my head on the pillow, my alarm clock went off, and I got picked up for work.
It is very easy to land on the Ferrara shit list. I can't imagine that Asif got a warm welcome from Jerry Ferrara on the next meeting. I know you froze him. You froze him for sure. Did you call him on it?
Did you say, hey,
I did not. That's the other thing. Like, kind of like Jeter and the captain. Like, once you do it, man, it's like, bro, right. I'm not going to call you. I just might be done. That being said, this is 100 years ago. Yeah, no bad blood.
Yeah. You know what's so funny? I didn't want to go down the road. We were having a nice little interview, but I could tell that there was something that was on his mind because he was like, you know, the guys weren't as
He's
warm
the nicest
to me.
Guy.
Yeah, yeah. The guys weren't by the way, as warm to me. And Grenier took him under his wing.
If Reese and I made it back to the hotel in 40 minutes, because I think it was only a 40-minute walk away, right. It would have been a non-issue. Like, he never would have heard about it again. It just was the fact that Ben, and you know, cell phones are terrible at this point. We have,
I
like,
might have chilled him out too
phones.
After Jerry told me that story. I probably, all right, this guy's getting the cold shoulder treatment.
No, we love him. He's the best. If you're listening, he's the coolest guy ever. Love him. No bad blood.
He was cool.
I was more upset that it took me four hours to walk home. Yeah, took me 4 hours to walk home.
By the way, that's going to be a fun season to cover, which is, season four, right? So it starts where we shoot and it ends in Cannes. But in the middle is the furry episode, which is going to be great. A great one to do.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know what I'm not looking forward to is out the because you were peak Connolly shape. You were on creatine. You were fucking, and you kept doing this joke, everybody. Like, oh, yeah. He was hitting the gym so hard, and he was
We worked out in the trailer a couple times.
Dylan and I.
You and Dylan, every time you guys picked up a tortilla chip, you'd break it. We would grab plastic cups. Everything.
Oh, I can't control my strength.
Dylan, for three weeks.
Dylan and I are doing curls outside the dressing room. And Jerry's like, by the way, I have to say, I hate this. I hate this whole thing.
I hate your dumbbells.
And I hate that you guys are doing.
It didn't last very long. It lasted one episode.
Well, all things being considered, though, you guys are in phenomenal shape.
Well, just the beginning of it, really.
And that's what I'm saying. It always starts that way.
Every season, I start off looking pretty jacked. And by the end of it, I'm waist. I got tiny little arms.
Your peak, Dylan, I don't know what you did during those Viking Quest Comic-Con episode, you looked like a fucking football player wearing the Tarbold outfit, bro. The Comic-Con episode.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll just do a couple workouts
the night before.
Dylan has great muscle memory. He does. I was in a lot of your scenes.
Yep. We did a lot of scenes. I'm like, this guy, he's fucking built like Brian Urlacher right now. Fucking swollen.
Yo, Dylan will sit down and do five heavy sets, like with the dumbbells. Five, boom, boom, boom. Bang them out, pump up the chest.
Always the shoulders. You gotta work the shoulders.
Only on camera. Chest ew.
You're so upset. You didn't play golf on camera, muscles only.
I don't touch the legs.
Right.
There's no reason to do legs.
I'm bummed that wasn't on.
Yeah. I'm bummed that wasn't on the fitness grind when you guys were fucking doing curls.
You hard later. You got in the best shape of all of us.
You know.
Well, I did nothing but work out for fucking 3 years, and I ate 1,600 calories a day.
Jerry, we've been sitting there. We go over these episodes, and it's like it's crazy that we don't know what's happening. You're probably the best of everybody at it, but we literally don't know what happens from episode to the next. But I did jump ahead to watch Adios Amigos because I was seeing like, hey, maybe there's somebody from that episode that we could bring on as a guest.
Yeah, right,
bro. Reese throws a perfect game in Adios Amigos, bro. He's so good.
Wally balls,
and then he takes them. Reese is just a beast. He's a beast. He's so good. He's so good at it. But it's good.
Has he been on the pod yet? Have I not heard that episode?
Yeah, he's been on.
He did an early episode, but he's due for a brush up.
Yeah, maybe that's the one.
Yeah. I mean, you could bring him in for so many. I mean, the guy's just unreal. He's unreal, the podcast. But yeah, man, it's been fun having Marlon talks about, you know, it's these guys are all, you know, we've had really good interviews with like a lot of those guys, Josh Labar. Jordan Belfi, you know, to hear, you know, it's one thing to when you talk about, like, for example, I always compare it to DVD commentary, right? So DVD commentary is months after we shoot it, right?
Right.
This is us looking back on it 20 years later. And it's funny how people just, not in a bad way, but people remember things differently, right? 20 years goes by and it's like, I don't know. Are you sure? I think it was this. You know what I mean? It's things happen after 20 years.
To Doug's credit, you know, a lot, like, there's just some people who came in and were just killers, right? From the moment they said, like, and he, Marlon was one of them. Like, he was great in all that
right
stuff with the Rufus's home video solutions or whatever. And like, Doug always brought, and the soft same thing. Like, they always made their way back, like year in, year out. You always knew there was going to be the Marlon episode.
Yeah,
and then, like, and they were coming back.
And it's a compliment. It's a compliment for him to come back in the Lauren London storyline. Because you, one could argue that maybe that was a little weird, but it wasn't at all. I mean, he was stereo repairs. He's also got a repair shop. I mean, it's not that weird, you know?
No, but even him, like, you remember the, like, when the Vince is about to go, like, break up with Mandy Moore and we're all, like, smoking in the Malibu house. And then out of nowhere, he's just like, he's like, I go for a smoke. And Marlon just pauses, like, yeah, I got some bubble cushion in the wheel well of my caddy. It's like a great fucking delivery.
Motherfucker tried to pay me Nash Bridges DVDs. Remember, that's my favorite line. But he's also in the best commercial of all time. Do you ever see the Kia commercial where him and his kid are walking, him and his kid are walking to the car, and it's all voiceover. And he's holding he's holding the trophy. Marlon is holding the trophy and it says participation. And a voiceover kicks in and Marlon goes, participation. We won every game this weekend. And he peels off the participation and he pulls out a Sharpie and he writes first place and he hands it to the kid. It's like the best car commercial of all time. Yep. Which brings me to my final point.
He's awesome.
Jerry, did you guys see this thing with the World Series? I hate to even talk about this because you can't win. Did you see the kid get hit? With the world,
like Little League World Series.
Little League World Series. Yes. They're in like the semifinals, and a kid gets hit and he goes to first base, and then like him and the pitcher hug.
Hug it out.
They hugged it out. And it's getting a little backlash. You know, come on, bro. You're in the semis, the Little League World Series. You're hugging it out. I mean, come on. The guy's not throwing 100 miles an hour. The kid got donked on the top of the head with the baseball. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think about
that? That's tough.
Well, I didn't see it, but you know, they're kids. It's not a.
I don't know. That's not the killer. That's not the killer instinct. I want to see. Should have mad dogged him.
Went in for the hug. Pitcher walked over to first base.
I think the pitcher was upset that he hit the kid in the head. And
the pitcher was on the mound bawling after he plunked the kid in the head. He plunked him dead in the almost in the face.
But he hit him on that. But he definitely hit him in the helmet.
It is. You know what? Yeah. It does. You know, I played in Little Leagues, and I pitched, and I threw hard, and I beamed three batters in a row, and it's unsettling when you're hitting kids.
Right.
I mean, I think parents
the pitcher
are like,
was crying.
Get this kid off the mound. He's going to kill someone.
The pitcher was upset.
The pitcher was visibly crying, like, hat over his eyes, like, very distraught, and the kid who got hit, who was on first base already, up and about, came over and literally just hugged him and was like, saying something to him in his ear, probably saying like, "I'm okay, don't worry about it," or whatever. And then coaches came out and stuff like that.
And then, crying in the stands, and it's like, "Come on, this is the semifinals of the Little League World Series." He should have mad dogged him and followed him down the first baseline, staring at him. That's what he should have done.
Just a different.
You think Roger Clemens?
Time.
You think Roger Clemens? Would have accepted a hug
like he did to Piazza.
Like Clemens threw at Piazza in the fucking World Series.
Clemens and Piazza didn't hug. I didn't see any hugs going on there. I don't know. Listen, I get it, and it's always nice to see a nice moment where kids aren't acting like animals. But I don't know. Yeah. That could have been a very viral moment. Had he mad dogged them all the way down the line. But now they're hugging.
But think about if that happened. Matt, that kid's probably off the team in this world, in the present day. They'd probably throw that kid off the team.
He'd be a legend. No, just staring? Is that illegal?
I don't know. Like, we know it's different than when you and I and Dylan were in Little League.
He's got to back off the plate. He can't huddle around. if he's gonna huddle over the plate like that, you're gonna have to brush him back.
Roger Clemens is very disappointed. Somewhere.
I don't know, man. I love it, and of course you want kids to be nice to each other. I don't know. I don't know that was the time for the hug. And then they cut to the shots, all the parents crying and the stands. I don't know. I'm gonna catch a lot of heat for that one, but whatever. I wanted to get that off my chest. Not a participation.
You might get some chin music on social media for that one.
No hug. I mean, like, the kid was clearly okay, but that's it. I wanted to get that off my chest, but I saw that. You know what? I didn't realize that the pitcher was so upset. That's what I think I missed. So I don't really have full context for the clip. Pitcher was crying that he hit the kid.
Oh, I mean, that's from what I saw. It did look like he was just on, like, was definitely nowhere near ready to then go settle in and toe the rubber to pitch to someone else.
Mariano hugs? I don't know. I don't see Mariano hugging anybody. I don't know. Food for thought. Just saying. But this has been great, man. Jerry, I know things heat up for you over there around what time?
Witching hour has begun, like 5:30. everyone's up from a nap and it's like, where's dad at? We want to play. Yeah, I'm about to probably go.
You can feel the walls
remote control cars.
Right. Right.
For a little bit, which is a lot of fun.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the official announcement on the podcast too. Jerry, what's the name of it again?
It's called Unleashed.
And when does it start?
With BetMGM, all your local podcast outlets. But yeah, we still got plans.
Apple, Spotify, it's going to start.
Stop tweeting
at
me. Stop tweeting at me to do a pod. Like, when am I? Doug's plan is working. All right, we talk outside of the show, guys. We all talk outside of the show. We're Connelly and I. We talk a lot. There's things on the burner.
Everything's
relax.
Good. We're working. Yeah, we're working. You got an opportunity. Of course, I'm happy for you, bro. And I do appreciate you calling me to tell me. I don't think at the end of the day, I wasn't going to be mad about it, regardless. But I do appreciate you, and I'm glad we talked about it on the air too, because that's good old fashioned content right there. Good old
fashioned. I had to wait for the embargo to pass. No, there was no embargo, but yeah, we got to make sure I was allowed to talk. And then that's it. And then,
well, congratulations.
Yeah, we gotta get our things going. And I want to come back. I definitely want to come back for the furry episode.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't think it would be right if I wasn't. I'll listen.
That's got to be the.
I got questions for Dylan.
Yeah. Oh no. The whole episode is great, and it's one of the things about that episode is that it's one of the very few standalone episodes, meaning that it had nothing to do with the storyline. There's no Medellin. Yeah. There's nothing. It's just we wake up on this day and this is the story.
Hey, Jerry, did they want us to wear like furry costumes? We did like an ESPN show together.
Yes.
And they were like, we had to put on these squirrel costumes.
They ask you to put on costumes?
And I think it was you, Jerry. You were like, no, I'm not going to do that.
On every Easter. Every Easter for the last 5 years.
Sure, you get blown up on Easter with that.
I post that furry pic of me and the pink bunny suit every Easter, and I say happy Easter.
I usually do.
And it gets thousands, if not millions, of likes. Like, it's probably the most, like, I don't know if you've ever ranked, like, just the episodes that you hear the most about on the street, the most chatter. And that one is very, I don't know if it's number one, but it's definitely in the top three.
Of course, Easter is the most holy of all
the holiest Catholic of the holidays. The holiest of the holidays.
Sorry.
No, but it's an interesting story thing because we rarely did that. In fact, I don't know, but it might be the only time that we did that. Where it was just...
Yeah, I don't remember standalone
like that could have been like a sitcom. That had nothing to do with anything. There was no...
Yeah.
It just was a standalone, right?
For like the A story, there's definitely been a few like... just side stories that were just for that episode. But this was like the entire engine of the episode was built on.
It's also, let's call it what it is. That's the Jess Mancini episode. I mean, there's no other way around it.
It might actually be the number one most talked about. Like, again, I'm not talking about the best
quotable
episode. I'm not even saying fan favorite. I'm just saying like from the quotes to the visuals, like just the most chatter. If you run into someone on the street who loves this, like that episode gets a lot of... Like, it's up there with Tom Brady. It's up there with... It's just up there with it all. It gets a lot of chatter.
Yeah.
That'll be a fun one to cover. That'll be fun. I'd love to hear where that
I'm in on
from.
That one.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you very much for joining us here. Jerry Ferrara.